Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? Today's date is May 10th, 2017, and this is episode 46. I am your host, Carrie, and as always, I am joined this week by Kent and Russell. Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing good. How about you, Kent? How are you doing?
I'm a little irritated at the moment.
So you look like you're sleeping.
No, I'm just... I'm seething, not sleeping. I'm seething at the moment. So
I gotcha. I was seething earlier.
Yeah, we just died twice doing a boss. So this is like three straight weeks at ESO that we get close to the boss and I have to drop out for the podcast because nobody can quite get their shit together in a timely fashion. So instead of like starting like 15 minutes sooner, it was like blah, 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 blah. Instead of just fucking going and doing the goddamn mission. And so I keep missing the fucking reward at the end. Back of my hand to everybody involved, basically, is how I feel right at this moment.
Maybe they shouldn't play on Wednesdays.
Yeah, this was their night to play. I'm just a guy that's just there to bitch and moan.
I was
and
just
have the best rating.
I was just gonna say, yeah, you try to tell Eric that.
He's a big boy. There's six other days in the week. I'm sure he can figure out how to get that to work.
Fair enough. So anyways, so if this is your first time listening to the podcast, or even if you're a regular listener and need a reminder about what we're all about, the three of us recap and discuss the week in wrestling. And in addition to that, we also have some fun segments that we would like to share with you. And with that, let's get started. First, with a word from this week's Raw Review sponsor. Kent, you know what grinds my gears.
Let me tell you what really grinds my gears. When you start up your Xbox and it says you need to update your billing information because you're due for a renewal. The fun thing is that I'm not due for a renewal until May of 2019. But wait, it gets better because on the exact same day, which is today, like 3 hours later, I get an email from Best Buy saying, hey, it's time for you to update your subscription. How the fuck does Best Buy know this? I've not bought anything Xbox related from Best Buy. Like, they're spying on me at this point. I'm so confused how they know this information, which is false information. And Emma's injured. And that's what really grinds my gears this week.
Listen, that was very wrestling related.
Well, she got hurt.
Yeah, it does suck.
I was going to say, yeah, Emma's injured and Kent has a stalker. Always good things. But anyways, guys, a lot happened this week on Raw, and I'd like to kind of recap and discuss those things with you. First up, let's talk about the Battle of the Acting GMs. So, for the listeners, this week, Dean Ambrose and The Miz were chosen to be guest GMs by, well, Kurt Angle or Stephanie McMahon, and as a result of this storyline, several matches were set up. First being Finn Balor versus The Miz, which ended in a DQ by The Miz and was restarted by Ambrose, resulting in a Finn win. And then Dean versus Bray Wyatt, with Bray Wyatt taking the win over Dean after interference by The Miz. Overall, I thought both matches were good. The interaction between both guys in the opening segment during their respective matches and the backstage segments were fantastic. I would go so far as to say they really showed that they are the top guys on Raw right now. So, Kent, what did you think overall?
As Kent has disappeared from sight, so I'll go and take his spot. So, I'll be honest with you. The matches were okay. They were decent. But they weren't high-quality matches. They were good, middle-of-the-road matches. Nothing really exciting about them. My real problem was the 2GM thing was just so dumb. Everything else about the whole show was pretty decent, but I just wasn't feeling the 2GM thing. It was dumb. First of all, Dean Ambrose is on his phone saying, hey, by the way, Kirk gives me powers to be the GM. 5 seconds before the show goes on, what kind of goddamn company is WWE that it tells its employees, hey, by the way, you're the GM 5 minutes from now. Good luck running the show, jackass. Yeah, that's a way to get some good quality show out of this. And then The Miz walks out and goes, no, no, no. Stephanie made me co-general manager. Well, okay. Where's your proof there, buddy? No proof. Stupid, stupid premise. If WWE wants us to believe these stupid things, then they need to set this shit up 10 seconds before the goddamn show. Now, that being said, matches were pretty good. Just nothing great. Really confused by... Well, I'm not confused anymore, but back in the time it happened, I was really confused why Finn didn't interfere in the last match of the night, but I think I know why now. Other than that, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
So why do you think that Finn didn't interfere?
Well, with Braun's injury, now it fucks everything up. I didn't realize Braun was actually injured. Like, Kent, did you at the time?
Yes, because at the time I watched it like 2 p.m. on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Because my DVR didn't record it, so I had to watch it significantly later than I normally would have. I did know.
Okay, I was so confused. I was like, Braun was there. When did he get injured? And then all of a sudden, and like, not, but before all that, I was like, why is Finn not attacking Bray when Bray just got handed a cheat win? That makes no sense. It makes sense now, but at the time it didn't.
So between Miz and Ambrose, who do you think is going to walk away with the IC title when everything is said and done?
It's probably going to go to Miz at this point. It just seems like it. But honestly, I think Dean needs to run with the belt a little bit. Get a different feud other than Miz.
Fair enough. So, Kent, what were your overall reactions to the Battle of the Guest GMs?
Yeah, it was just lazy writing. But one thing I will say is that I surprisingly actually enjoyed the Samoa Joe versus Seth Rollins match. Despite me completely burying it last week, this week's effort I felt was significantly better. The match flowed a lot better. I actually really enjoyed the match. It's a perfect Raw match. Not a pay-per-view quality match. They didn't bring that, but they brought us a Raw main event quality match, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's the one time that, for those two right now, where Seth got the win, but it did not feel like a win, because Joe definitely took it out. It was a good way of doing it.
No, it's not. Nothing they're doing's good at this point. I mean, the match was good, but there's nothing good about the story that they're telling us right now. They're basically saying, we brought this guy up who was, what, our first? Was he the first or second time two-time NXT champion?
I think it was second.
I think it was Finn was first, I think. All right, so here's our second ever two-time NXT champion. This guy's great. He's dominant. We're not going to put him at WrestleMania. We're not going to use him worth a damn, and we're going to have him job a lot. Bo Dallas sympathizes for Samoa Joe at this moment.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
It's pretty bad. You're right.
Do you think that's where they're going with Samoa Joe? They're just going to bury him like they did Bo Dallas? Because that's kind of messed up, if you think about it.
It is. I worry because Triple H doesn't have as much pull on the main roster as he does on NXT. Triple H sees money in Samoa Joe. Vince might see a fat, out-of-shape guy. And, I mean, shit, even Kevin Owens got a great push right out the gate. I don't know what's happening with Samoa Joe. Maybe it's all going to fucking wow me in the end. But for right now... I mean, maybe this coming week, maybe like he'll get a call on his phone and be like, hey, you're the next co-GM for the week because we're just fucking lazy and Kurt can't travel overseas because of drugs and alcohol and shit. Yet Jeff Hardy can. I don't get it. I just... This week's Raw really just... lulled me into a state of boredom. Yeah, it was boring.
And you know what? You bring up a good point, Carrie. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you bring up a good point. They had such good caliber matches, didn't they? Like, on paper, those matches were like, holy crap, this is a pay-per-view, right?
Well, I mean, shit, I didn't even vent about the tag team turmoil thing.
Oh, we'll get to that.
I don't know if that's coming up, Carrie, or is this, like, the time to vent?
We'll get there. But
okay, then I'll save that.
Yeah.
But really, since you moved the, you mentioned the Hardys, we might as well jump right into it if you want. So, let's talk tag team turmoil, shall we, guys?
Sure.
Let's just a recap for everyone listening. All the tag teams in the tag team division, with the exception of the Hardys, of course, wrestled each other for a chance to become number one contender to the Hardys tag team titles. We had Enzo and Cass, and Cesaro start us off. Then Cesaro proceeded to eliminate Enzo and Cass, Ginger, Rhino, Gallus and Anderson, and Golden Truth to become number one contender. Overall, matchups were decent, but the ending was predictable, and quite frankly, I thought it was a waste of time, given how predictable it was. So, Kent, what do you got? What are your thoughts?
I'm going to sound like a complete dumbass here, but to me it wasn't predictable. I thought for sure they were giving Golden Truth the win after Cesaro had run the table. I did not... Tag team turmoil matches, historically, there is not a team that runs the gauntlet from beginning to end. Unless there's like some ridiculous stipulation that they all get to rub their sacks across Lana's face or something like that. Like... Aside from that, there's really, you know, those are the only stipulations that really will allow for that. They had a storyline with two old-time teams that could really have been fun, and the other tag teams could have feuded. And I mentioned this at 9deuce.com/wrestling, and the whole thing just bothered me. If you want to put Cesaro over, you could have done it in a different way that didn't bury the rest of the freaking division. So, I imagine at some point we're going to see Rhino feeding Samoa Joe some crackers backstage, and Bo Dallas is just going to run around with his flabby gut, and there we have a new freaking group. That's what I'm going with at Raw.
Wow. You are definitely a Raw fan this week.
Yeah, that was definitely harsh. I mean, considering the build-up, you would almost think that Golden Truth had this one, and that... I think they kind of dropped the ball there. What do you think, Kent?
I'll say this. At no point ever will I trust them to ever do the right thing with Goldust ever again. They've lost me on that. They can't redeem themselves. They've lost me. They had a chance. Goldust is still really good in the ring, and actually Truth is too, and now WWE has officially lost my trust on that. They're really losing my trust on quite a few of these teams because they just don't seem to know what the hell they're doing. And I personally think that tag team wrestling is the easiest division to book in wrestling. It's simple. It's very simple stuff because you're only dealing with like five or six teams at a time. You mix, match, rotate. It's easy stuff. What is WWE doing? I don't know. Fuck.
So, basically, my last question for you is, who do you think does Hardys retain, or does Cesaro get the belts back?
Hardy Boys retain? Yeah. Hardy Boys? I don't know. Because you can job... Well, you got the Revival, right? Like, we know the Revival's coming. Are they immediately going to get put into a feud with the Hardys? Are they going to get into a feud for the belts? What are they doing with the Revival? I guess that answers your question in the fact that once we know what's going on with them, we know which way they're going to go. Put the belts on Cesaro. Right now, they're killing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it also really depends on if they get the deal done with Broken or not. I think you lose the belts.
Who gives a fuck about the Broken? Can I be perfectly...
Well, no, I think what's going to do is if they get the rights to it, then I don't see Cesaro losing their match at whatever friggin' pay-per-view, if it is even a pay-per-view. That's what I mean. Because if you're going to start the Broken, you got to get them broken, which means they got to start losing.
Who cares about the Broken, though? We as wrestling fans... everybody listening, get off your fucking high horse. Most of you didn't fucking watch TNA when the broken thing was going big, okay? And you sure shit didn't stay watching, or else TNA wouldn't have almost died, okay? Numbers don't lie. The numbers do not freaking lie. Nobody was giving a shit when it was happening, and now all of a sudden we're all pretending, like a magic fairy in the fucking forest, that we care about this broken Hardy gimmick. And mark my words, when it does happen, within a month, we're going to be sitting here, same time, same place, and we're going to be bitching about how lame it is. So that's what's happening. It's a waste.
It's not us that care, though, so much as the Hardys and WWE cares. They care. And they're the ones that they're the ones that will, once it's, I can't see the Hardys holding the belts as broken. It doesn't make sense to me. So storyline, they'd have to lose the belts. That's what I mean by it. I mean, yeah, I
honestly, once again, I watched it. They worked better when they were the champions.
But
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm bringing in real life experience that I watched it and it was better when they were champions. Most people, once again, didn't watch it. So I'm just saying, they're kind of going in reverse curse order here, basically. They paid for a shitty mushroom Mario Party 3. That's what's going on.
Fair enough. So, getting back to the tag team turmoil match, Russ, what did you think of the tag team turmoil match?
All right, well, I'm never going to complain about having Sheamus and Cesaro on my screen for 30 minutes and a decently laid out couple of matches. I thought they did a great job out there. But I'll be honest with you, it was completely forgettable. I 100% looked down. I don't know what happened, but I never saw the parts with GNA. I didn't even know they were in the tag team turmoil until the next day when I read it on a site. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell happened? I don't remember that part of the match. And then
did the match bury the tag team division for you, Russ?
A little bit. It buried it to the fact that everyone lost to Cesaro in quick fashion. So yes, that really did hurt. But I'm a huge fan of Cesaro, so it's really one of those. It's a catch 22 for me because I like Cesaro, so I really wanted to see them succeed. But yeah, Gallows and Anderson, Big Cass and Enzo. A year ago, we were all like, holy crap, the WWE tag team division's awesome. With these guys in it, it's going to be great. It has been shit. It's been Alicia Fox. Just shit. It was garbage. I mean, I almost hate Enzo and Cass now. I feel bad for Gallows and Anderson. The only things that are doing good are Cesaro and the Hardys can suck a left nut because I hate Jeff and I don't care how much Jeff gets good, I still always hate him. So fuck Jeff. Matt's awesome. I love Matt.
So in line with that thinking, let's do some fantasy booking now, guys. So we got Cesaro as number one contenders. Let's say they win the belt at the next pay-per-view. What would you guys do with the division? Russ, let's start with you.
All right, so Cesaro has the belt. Okay, first of all, you really either need to... Well, who can go against them? Let's go with that. I don't even know who can go against them. Enzo and Cass? Yeah, okay, they suck. They've lost so many times that they don't deserve a number one title shot, a contendership shot. Gallows and Anderson? Okay, their heels doesn't make much sense, but I'd still love to see them in a feud with them. Who else does that leave? The Hardys? Okay, no. If they just lost it to them, drop it after they should have their rematch, lose that, and then move on. Who else is left? Oh, Ginger Rhino. Okay, so let's do Ginger Rhino. I like that. Okay, we're going to work on Ginger Rhino here. So I'm going to say Ginger Rhino versus Cesaro. Let's get a good feud going here. Let's have a number one contendership match to get the number one contenders. Let's make it Ginger Rhino. And let's just have it be a good old-fashioned, we don't like you, you don't like us, and just get into like a fight in the first match. Cesaro is going to win, probably by hook or by crook. It's fine, they're the heels, it's what they expect him to do. I know, make us feel bad for Ginger Rhino. But then, after that first match, let's have Cesaro kind of be those dickheads and go, yeah, no, you already had your chance. You're not getting another chance. And then for a couple of months, screw them. Don't give them a chance. Move them on a little bit. And then maybe at SummerSlam we get that rematch finally because they deserve it and they've been held back for so long. Ginger Rhino, that is. They finally get that rematch. And then at that point, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So I'll leave it there at the booking.
Sounds good. Ken, fantasy booking time for you.
All right, you're going to really like this because this has come from a place of positivity. Step one.
Get the New Day back.
No, fuck them. we're going to break up Goldust and R-Truth. Okay. And they're going to have a feud, right? Step two. We're going to break up Enzo and Cass and have them in a feud. Step three. Matt's going to go broken, and we're going to break up the Hardy Boys. Step four is Mick Foley comes back and says, you guys now have a best of nine between Cesaro, and we break up the team. And finally, Finn has a lover's quarrel with GNA, and eventually Gallows gets dumped, and Anderson becomes his bodyguard. We broke up the team. And then the Revival comes back, and they're like, shit, we ain't got no competition. And they hold the belts for 6 years. That's fantasy booking 101. Come on, it's no worse than what we're getting right now. It's really not.
This is true. This is true.
You said something, Ken, at first that made me think...
Was it the dragging their nuts across Lana's face?
No, that was way back. No, too far back. I was thinking during the tag team, your fantasy booking. You mentioned R-Truth and Goldust.
Oh, shit, I forgot. I didn't break up the Ginger Rhinos. That was also happening.
Yeah, that also happened. My bad. We're going to go for that. I honestly think that's what they're aiming for. Doesn't seem like it now since they lost this last match. You think they're...
Yeah, I think they're going to turn Goldust heel. And maybe, just maybe, they could, if they could figure things out with Cody, bring Cody back. Because the Dust Brothers, were a good tag team.
They were
a really good tag team. At one point, they were booked really, really well going against, like, Evolution and The Shield, I believe. Maybe it was just The Shield. Like, it was good stuff, though. I think they had a feud with, like, Seth and Roman at one point in the early Shield days. Okay, why not? It's better than what we're getting now. That or else they plant a bomb, blow everything up, and they start fresh. Because the Revival will be home, they'll be alive.
That's right. We got to keep the Revival alive because the Revival is awesome. How bad do you feel for the Revival right now?
I was thinking about that. I don't feel bad for them. Right now, they're ducking like this really bad time, and they'll come back right as WWE tries to right the ship, and then they're going to get all the credit for righting the ship.
Okay.
This is the best time to be injured, I think.
Well, I was going to say, how bad do you feel if they come back and they don't right the ship?
Well, they can have crackers with Rhino, Heath, and Joe. It'll be the Cracker Club. Oh, wait, that sounds racist.
That is really racist, considering they're all...
But they'll have Samoa Joe!
Okay, there you go.
Oh, wait, you know what? Also, Titus Brand. Make that a tag team. Involve them.
Sure.
That seems common sense to me.
Yeah. Why weren't they on Raw?
Because, Russ.
Because reasons, guys. Because reasons.
I completely forgot all about that.
In a 3-hour show, Russ, they do not have enough time to give us a backstage segment where Titus says, hey, Apollo, really good match last week. Let's continue this on next week. No, they didn't have enough time for that.
That's funny.
And then they wonder why there's crickets with, you know, Apollo when Apollo comes out.
Right.
But anyways, moving on. I think before we move on, we should have a breaking news break, guys. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So this week's breaking news break is brought to you, of course, by Carrie's Big Wrestling Story of the Week. And, well, everyone, the wait is over. After over a week of waiting, 11 days to be exact, from her due date, late last night, Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan welcomed their baby girl into the world. According to WrestlingInc.com, Birdie Joe Danielson was born last night at 11:58 p.m., was 8 pounds, 10 ounces, and 21 inches long.
What the hell is her name?
Birdie Joe Danielson.
Like a bird.
Yes.
Okay.
They're hippies.
It doesn't matter. You have Brie Bella.
Wait, Russ, can I just throw this out there? When her nudes leak in 23 years, everybody can call her Dirty Birdie, and it'll be funny then.
Oh, man, that's way too early, Kat. Too soon.
By the way, wait. How do we do a breaking news segment and not talk about the news of the week? Charlotte's nudes leaking?
Oh, my. Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that yet. They were adequate. I thought those were okay.
I was going to say, I thought those were completely forgettable based on the exchange you two were having.
They really were forgettable, like, but still funny.
Kent brought me down to reality, and I'm glad he did, because I was like, oh, man, yes. And then I saw her body, I'm like, meh, it's okay.
Is it exactly what you expected? Nothing more, nothing less? It was just
It was worse. It was a little bit worse than I expected. I'm not going
to
lie.
I mean, I'm just waiting for Braun Strowman's nudes to leak. Oh, that's what I'm really waiting for.
God, yes. The pecs on that man.
He's not finished with us.
He is not finished with us. That is his
catchphrase. And we're not finished with him.
That is his catchphrase, by the way. I love that he's using it. Good for him. Oh, man. All right.
Anyways, back to the news of the week. Congrats to Brie and Daniel Bryan. Anyways, now back to our Raw recap. So this week we had several things happen in the Raw women's division. We had Nia and Alexa becoming new BFFs, Mickey and Alexa match where Alexa got a win over Mickey, a Bayley-friendly London crowd, and a Sasha and Alyssa Fox match where Sasha got the win. For me, overall, both matches were good. I'm intrigued by the new BFF storyline, mostly because I want to see how Alexa manipulates this friendship to her advantage. I also have some gripes about the London crowd during the Alexa Bliss match and how they were paying more attention to serenading Bayley than the match. But first...
Because they're idiots.
Yeah, pretty much. And we'll go over that in a few. But first, I want to get your thoughts on the women this week. So, Russ, let's start with you. What did you think overall?
Okay, overall, and I never thought I was going to say this ever in my life, but Nia Jax made me laugh out loud. I couldn't believe it. At first, I was like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have laughed. But no, it was funny. It was when she was talking to Alexa, and... She told Alexa that, guess you got a new best friend. And the way she delivered the line, it was funny. It was good. Good for her. Alexa is Nia's muse, I guess, is the word I'd look for. Because Nia, since Alexa's been here, Nia's been on fire. She's gotten better in the ring. I don't know why that's possible all of a sudden, but she's got better in the ring. She's more fluent talking to people. Like, she was very comfortable talking to Alexa, it seemed. Very natural, and it was really good, and I was shocked. I'm still not jumping on the Nia bandwagon. She can go to hell. But impressed. Now, Alexa, on the other hand, is quickly becoming... the best woman in wrestling now, period. And it's not because of her wrestling skills. She's okay. She's adequate. She's a little bit better than good. She is, character-wise, fan-fucking-tastic. She is amazing. It's just the little things she does. And we've been saying this forever, even when she was on SmackDown. The little things she does makes her an amazing heel. Two of my favorite things. When she was afraid of Nia when Nia was in front of her, but then at the end gave that coy little, I can use this. It was all it had to be done. She had a little bit of a smile and said, I can use this to my advantage. And she didn't say a word. Is there anybody else that really ever does that? Give me a couple other people.
Triple H using Batista.
Yeah, okay. That was a good one. Yeah.
I think that's pretty much kind of like where this actually stems from, to be perfectly honest. I think that's where we're going with it.
Might. And it was really good.
Well, Carmella and Ellsworth, though.
Yeah, but she's...
She's F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S-A.
Fabulosa. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little bit different. It feels this way with those two. Yes, she's definitely using him, but for what? It's not to gain anything. Like, Alexa's using Nia to steamroll her way. The other thing she did was fantastic. I don't know if you guys caught this. When she came out, as she was...
I already hate you. This was my whole crux of my thing. So go ahead for taking everything
I had. Sorry, this was fantastic. I thought it was great. I was going to write about it, but I was like, I'm not wasting time writing about it. I'll talk about it on the podcast. When she came out to her music, she's about to approach the fans. She gets this really big, happy, like, yeah, let's do it. And it's about to slap someone's hand. She pulls it back and goes, yeah, whatever. It was great. That was fantastic. It was just the way she looked was fantastic. And then when she got up and posed with her belt, she gave us that little wink. Amazing. She is awesome. And there's nobody who can touch her right now. Oh, yeah, the match was okay.
So basically you see this thing with her and Nia playing out basically as we would expect. She's going to be manipulator. Nia's not going to get the belt.
Well, it will work in her advantage until it's time to turn Nia against her. That's what it seems like to me. Nia's going to turn against her and they're going to have a feud at some point. Maybe not a feud, but at least a match.
Do you think at that point she'll take the belt off Alexa?
Hell no. Fuck Nia. All right, that was it. That's all I had. The Sasha stuff, I went to go get a drink, and then it was over with, so I missed it.
That's all I had. Now let me continue talking.
Yes.
Good one,
that's
Russ.
That's how I roll, so. All right, I'm done.
All right, so Kent, how about you?
So remember that time when Alexa came out, and she was going to high-five that fan? It was really neat how that happened. Oh, that was already said. Huh. Well, she's not Charlotte, so that's a plus. She's basically Trish Stratus. That's all. Bliss is Trish, the second coming of Trish. Trish didn't start off as a good wrestler. She slowly developed a character. She was sexy as hell, had a great body. And she became probably the greatest diva of all time, both in ring and character wise. Bliss has a ways to come in ring. Bliss is got a long ways to come in the ring, but it's not really that big of an obstacle when you consider like who you're putting ahead of her. It's not like there's ever been like really great women wrestling. When Lita's kind of won the standard's pretty goddamn low. So yeah. I mean, since I blush about Bliss all the time, I actually would like to discuss whether Foxy was that storyline, her kicking out, or was it a referee fucking up? Like, I'm sure they're going to turn it into a storyline, but I guess my wonderment is, was it supposed to play out that way, or was it a fuck up? I mean, it was very obvious. It was incredibly obvious that she was not pinned. So, is this going to be the beginning of Sasha with a heel turn? Possibly. Like, if they make this into a story, and Sasha's just like, a win is a win, I'm the boss, blah, 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 Snoop Dogg's my cousin, we may have done things in the past. Okay? And that begins her heel turn. I don't know. That's kind of the hope, though. Foxy just needs to be used more. She's a character. She's probably the second best character that WWE has as far as women go. Utilize that. Because no matter what you internet wrestling nerds that are listening to this, you all say, we care about the in-ring wrestling. We care about Daniel Bryan. Bullshit. You know what we care about? We care about characters. Characters matter. This is why we don't really like Roman Reigns, because his character sucks. It has nothing to do with his wrestling.
His in-ring ability is one of the best, so...
Right. It's character-based. If you don't have a good character, nobody's ever going to get behind you. Nobody gave a shit about Daniel Bryan until he developed his character. I don't care what anybody says. If you want to go watch just really good wrestling, that's cool, and you're living a fucking lie. Just throwing that out there, you lying piece of shit.
Well, isn't it?
But keep listening.
Well, keep listening to the podcast, please. But okay, but hold on. Isn't it okay to want great matches and good characters?
No, that's asking too much. You get one or the other. Every once in a while, you get somebody that can actually do both, like Shawn Michaels, Taker, AJ. Triple H. AJ, yeah.
Samoa Joe.
Listen, I thought we were done with the Cracker Club. Maybe Alicia Fox can join the Cracker Club. I'm making that a stable, goddammit.
I don't know, maybe we should put Sasha in the Cracker Club.
Whoa. What kind of cracker is she?
Maybe she's like a half and half.
I was going to say she's the one with like the cheese whiz on top. You know, like the ones that Rhino was eating.
Oh, man, those are the kind of crackers I want to eat right up, so.
Well, there you go.
They could bring Keebler back. I mean, Keebler and Cracker. Come on, it works right on every level.
What is Stacey Keebler
doing?
She's
probably still hot. I mean, she's got to still be good looking,
right?
I'm
going to look her up right now. That's a good idea. I forgot.
Well, we've lost Russ for the next 7 minutes.
Well, while he's doing that, Kent, how about we, let's discuss this whole Nia thing, this Nia and Alexa thing. Where do you think that's going?
I think that at some point, like, Nia's going to be, you know, doing her best and Bliss is going by as much time as possible. And at some point, Nia's going to go so over the top, like, celebrating. And she's going to pick Bliss up, put her on her shoulders, and that's when we're getting our Batista moment. I mean, Grand Batista did it to Orton, but I think we're going to get Nia just dropping Bliss, like, from the electric chair move. I think that's where we're going, and I hope they kind of milk this for a bit. This can go for 4 months. I wouldn't go beyond 6 months, but 4 months seems right. And yeah, Nia's not going to make a good face. That's going to be the problem. Nia's going to make a bad face, but it's still better than the alternative of turning Bliss face. Like, Bliss isn't at the level where she can be a face yet. Trish took time. Bliss will take time. The parallels continue. Will the belt go on Nia? Yeah. Yeah. They will. They'll put it on Nia. Around SummerSlam, maybe.
Do you think it'll be deserved at that point?
Yeah, because my belief is all this shit wrestling that we've seen with Nia has been a product of them having her work a particular style. Of all people, I'm actually going to cite Finn Balor. If you remember in early goings of Finn Balor at NXT, you sat there wondering, why was this guy so hyped? And eventually they put him in the ring with Samoa Joe. And all of a sudden you saw Finn put on a good match. And, like, the chains were off. Curtis Axel was so happy that the chains were off, right? I think Nia, much like Braun Strowman also, they're finally just saying, you have all the tools, now make it your own. Nia can be a star. Like, I know we don't like her, but we don't like her character. We don't like how WWE did it. We may not actually hate Nia. It's kind of like the Roman syndrome. We may find that Nia's not that bad.
Yeah, but
so
I clearly see Roman. Like, I don't hate Roman. I've never hated Roman. I don't know why fans are still shitting on him. It's over with. It's done with. And he now deserves where he's at. Nia, you're right. There may be a point where we eventually start liking her. But, like, from the beginning, she was never really shoved down our throat, but she's awful. Like, she was awful in her presentation and awful in her execution.
Speaking of shoving down her throat, Stacey Keebler's
still looking
really good.
Yes. Yes, she is. She just recently had a baby, too, and she looks good for just having a baby, so.
Carrie, how are you not on top of this? This is wrestling-related news and babies. This seems like something you would totally be on top of.
Seriously.
Stacey Keebler had that baby like almost 2 years ago, guys.
Whoa, 2 years ago. Then I was looking at a picture from two
really?
Years ago.
Alright, so now she's gotta be sexy as hell.
God damn.
She lost all the baby weight and shit? Yeah. Can we get her and Steiner back? Because Test is dead.
Anyway, moving on. So, guys, before we move on to SmackDown and, well, this week's SmackDown sponsor, let's discuss the fact that the injury bug has hit again on Raw and has taken out both Emma and Braun. I think both are significant losses for Raw. Braun more so than Emma, but still, Emma just came back from injury. Braun was probably in what was a push of his career. So, Russ, what are your thoughts on both injuries?
Well, you shouldn't have pushed the Emma button, first of all. second of all, I'll be honest. Emma, oh man, it sucks because now she's just going to get buried even farther because she is injury prone. She is the Seth and Finn Balor of the women's division, and that's scary for her because it's not as strong for the women. Like the guys, they can take a few and be like, okay, they can come back. Girls, they get injured more than a couple times in a year, they're done. History. So it does not look good for Emma. I hope it's a small injury and she's back within a week or two. I don't know what the extent is. Kent will tell us, I'm sure. He's festering the anger. I can see it in his eyes. As for Braun, this was very detrimental because he was white hot, and I have no idea what they're going to do with him now. It makes no sense. I don't know how they're going to bring it back and keep him as hot as he's been. I guess it's going to be good to keep the keep us from getting fatigued right away, so positive on that side. But for the most part, he was supposed to go up against Brock. Now they have to push it off. That totally F's up that scene. Not that that was much of a scene in the first place. And I guess it's good for Braun in the long run because now he's not going to lose and start his decline as soon as it was going to be. So maybe Braun's injury isn't as bad as it's looking because now I'm thinking about it. There's a lot of positives to this for Braun. When he comes back, he is going to get cheered to the roof. And then I'm hoping when he comes back, it's going to be some crazy, crazy beatdown of somebody, possibly named Roman or Kalisto. Or anyone else, because I love it when I see Braun beat the shit out of somebody.
I say both Kalisto and Roman, but that's just me. All right, Kent, I know you want to say something, so go for it. What are your thoughts?
I think that Emma's injury is in some ways just as important as Braun's. And it's because there's so many heels that can just be put in. Like, they have Bray, they have Miz, they have Samoa Joe, they have Roman for all intents and purposes. They have enough heels. Right now, they got the BFF storyline, and that's going to be about it, because they don't ever seem to want to push Foxy, whereas they were looking like they were going to start this whole Emma and Dana thing. Emma, and this is a quote from a WWE ringside physician, Dr. Chris Robinson, Emma has a ruptured disc that will require her to have surgery. She came to us in a great deal of pain, which seemed to be increasing. She was then given an MRI, which revealed that further action would need to be taken. Unfortunately, the superstar's estimated recovery time cannot be determined until after her procedure is complete.
Oh, no.
So it started from a shoulder thing to the ruptured disc. And if we all can go back in time a few months, well, about 6 months, remember that Vince was very hesitant to continue pushing Sasha because she was an injury risk. And so Sasha didn't come out of that feud with Charlotte all that great. You know, she was kind of an afterthought. Yeah, she had 3 title wins, but none of them lasted long, right? Sasha was an afterthought. It was because of the injury bug. This could really be a bad thing for Emma, unfortunately. Braun, whatever, he'll be back in a month or two. He'll get pushed. He's huge. He'll be fine. Emma, on the other hand, I have no idea what to expect at this point. I think this was probably her best chance to get over. I don't know if she's going to get another opportunity to have storylines written directly for her. That's a shame.
Fair enough. So, guys, before we move on to SmackDown, anything else you guys want to talk about for Raw? Okay. I'll take that as a no.
No. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So let's move on to our SmackDown review of the week. But before we do that, let's hear a word from this week's SmackDown review sponsor, Russ's Man Crush of the Week.
All right. So my Man Crush of the Week does come from SmackDown. And I'm going to give it this week to Sami Zayn. Here's the reason why. He is a lovable, lovable guy in the back room. And man, was he hilarious when he was trying to, I guess, pep talk with AJ and Randy Orton. He's got a good character in this. I thought it was very funny. He's really good at being that neurotic guy. Yeah, I just enjoyed it. I thought he was funny, and I really liked it. So, Sami Zayn, congratulations. You're my man crush of the week. And that says a lot, because I did not have much pickings this week. It was pretty bad.
Either way, it was a great choice, Russ. I like me some Sami Zayn.
I want to see this Stacey Wiggle gif.
I just saw that and I immediately minimized the window. So while you guys are watching that...
I can't watch it at the moment. That's my problem.
So, a few things happened this week on SmackDown. Let's go ahead and kick off our discussion on that. First, let's talk about the Dolph and Shinsuke Nakamura segment. Just my overall thoughts on that. I'm enjoying the build of this feud so far. Dolph is saying all the correct things. He's finally getting over as a heel, in my opinion. And I also feel he's performing at the same level he was before last year's retirement match. And also, I felt this was segment of the night. And I'm also really looking forward to this match at Backlash. So, Kent, what do you think?
I find it weird that this probably was kind of like the first feud that was set for this pay-per-view, and yet it's still not an official match for the pay-per-view. Isn't that, like, that's a little weird.
I think they made it official at SmackDown.
Are you sure?
Not 100%, but I swear they said we're going to have a match at... But I could be wrong. So
All news sites are saying it, so I have a feeling it's official.
Well, I mean, Shinsuke's the poster child for this particular pay-per-view, so yeah. I mean, it's just stupid to not have... That they could have already done their stupid contract signing and killed some time and irritated us all. Instead, they're probably going to wait for another week or two before we get the contract signing. Do we have another week or two? I don't even know. I don't care, really.
So we have a week.
Oh, God damn it. Well, anyway, I just want... I don't care about this build-up. To be perfectly honest, there's nothing Dolph can do to get himself more over right now. Because they have to keep Shinsuke strong. There's nothing they can do to add any more intrigue to it. I'm fine if they skipped a week and didn't even tell us anything. Give us video packages of how good of a wrestler Dolph is and how he's a big enough threat for Shinsuke. I'd be fine with that. We don't need any more in-ring. Let the match just happen. That's how big this match should be treated. You know how it's going to be treated, though. That's all.
Yep. Russ, what about you?
Well, I enjoyed it. I like what they're doing with Dolph. He's a good foil for Shinsuke, I think. But yeah, I'm kind of where Kent is at this one. I'm done watching them do their little in-ring things. If they're not going to fight, then next week needs to be either the signing, because I think next week's is the go-home show. Or they need to just do a video segment, because I'm kind of getting over this. All right, yeah, will they, won't they type thing. Will they, won't they? It's going to be great. I can't see it being a bad match. I'm really looking forward to it. It could be a bad match. It could shit all over the place, but I just can't, because Dolph is a great Dolph's great at taking the shots. Like, he gets bounced all over the place, and I think he's going to do really well for Shinsuke. Is that going to do good for Dolph, though, putting Shinsuke over so hard? I don't know. We'll see.
What do you think, Kent? You think putting Shinsuke over is going to harm Ziggler, or is it going to help Ziggler?
The only thing that could really harm Ziggler right now is if they put Samoa Joe over him. That's really where we are. We're at purgatory of hell, where guys with talent just can't get over, but I can't say that Shinsuke's going to get over. Dolph really needs something to separate him and become the Miz of SmackDown. SmackDown's missing it. Quite frankly, I found SmackDown the past few weeks kind of raw-ish. Am I the only person that hasn't been nearly all that entertained by SmackDown the past few weeks?
It's seriously lacking.
They've had small bits that have been SmackDown-ish, but for the most part, it's been very Raw.
To which I would ask this question, even though Carrie may already have this on the thing, in which case I apologize. But doesn't this go hand-in-hand with trying to push a super low mid-carder to the main event and trying their best to get him over, and it may or may not be working well? So it's like a lot of wasted time trying to build up a guy that, for all intents and purposes, probably is not getting the belt and is probably going to go right back down to the mid-card really fast. Is that to blame? Is it the shake-up? Is it New Day not being around? Is it Cena not being around? Is it all of these things? Is it Rusev not being around? My God, I've missed that man. Is it Lana dancing with a chair? That could possibly be it. All of these things are happening. Just, I don't know. That's, I gender's the crux of it, but all of these things, especially Lana with the chair, are holding SmackDown down right now.
Well, since you brought it up, let's talk about gender and the six-man tag main event last night. And just, I mean, for me, I've never been completely on board this whole Jinder Mahal number one contender thing. I don't understand how he can come in as part of the shakeup, then basically a week later be automatically pushed when he's really done nothing to get to that point. I don't know. Maybe it's because I just like to hinder the gender. I don't know.
Don't hinder
Russ, gender. What do you got?
Well, I brought it up in our blog, which you can go read at 9deuce.com/wrestling. But gender wasn't pushed realistically. They did it so quickly. And it wasn't done in a good way. It was just like, hey, you're a perennial loser. Oh, hey, by the way, now you're a number one contender because you're awesome. It wasn't done well. Like, they did Braun and they did Baron well. Yes, Braun in the beginning was extremely, extremely annoying, but the ends justify the means. They did a very good job building Braun up to be a number one top heel. They did a great job, and they still are doing a good job with Baron Corbin, building him up to be a number one heel. When is he going to get there? I don't know. At least Braun's up there. Baron, I don't know. One day he'll get up there eventually, I think. Maybe he'll be the next feud with Randy. Who knows? But gender was just pushed on us. And here's what I'll say. Kudos to gender. Did I say that right? Gender. It sounds like I said gender. Kudos to...
That's because you said gender, Russ.
Kudos to...
That's why it sounded that way.
Kudos to gender, because he is doing everything he can possibly do with this, and he's doing it decently. He's not doing it terribly. I'm not against him. His in-ring skills leave me just concerned. He's not very exciting. Kent nailed it on the head in the blog. He's not very exciting, and unless something happens at that match, it's going to be a really, really bad or fast match. Because Randy, I don't know, he's laid some stinkers lately, so I'm kind of scared. Scene.
Carrie, you're doing the Russ.
You're pulling a Russ.
Am I really? Wow. Let me try
don't
this again.
Don't gender my gender.
You mean gender. Speaking of gender, do you think he was a good choice for number one contender, or should we possibly have someone else there? Maybe Baron Corbin. Should they have pulled the trigger on that instead?
No, I'm fine with gender.
Okay. Ken?
Given their options, that's the weird thing, is that given the options, there wasn't any because of how they had to have somebody who's top-notch to take on Shinsuke. The only option really for Randy, and I think, well, there's two obvious. There was Luke Harper, who has given Randy really great matches, and there was AJ Styles, who we haven't seen AJ and Randy really do much, and instead they give us gender. And I'll go so far as to say this. This was my least favorite match involving Baron Corbin in months. I didn't even pay much attention to it. I was so uninterested. And it's mainly because so much focus is put on Jinder and his character just isn't there. Ooh, you got a couple of fucking Indian guys that are short. Great. And they kind of just eat a lot of hits for you. And great. There's nothing there. There's no story being told. And, you know, as go back to Bliss, her character, right? We say, you know, character's key here, especially in WWE. What's his character right now? Does he legitimately even have a character? Randy is only capable of carrying so much. This is going to end really bad unless Rusev does a run-in.
I hear you on that, and you're right. His character is, I'm not white, so hate me. That's literally his character. WWE always pulls this. If you're not white, then you're the bad guy. And that's, in this day and age, pretty much not a good thing anymore.
Do you think it's a white thing or an American thing, though? I mean,
it's probably an American thing, you're right. But I don't know, Britain didn't seem to be cheering him on either, so
Britain's redneck, full of assholes.
Maybe it's redneck jackass? I don't know. It's really tough. But, like, for me, like, I want to hate gender because he's a douchebag, not because he's Indian. I could give a shit if he's Indian. But what are we going to do about it?
Bitch and moan and wait for the next feud, and Randy's going to have one of the most forgettable title runs in recent memory, unfortunately, because, like I said, instead of giving him Luke Harper to work with, instead of giving him AJ Styles to work with, they're giving him Jinder and a House of Hoovers. How are you ever...
Okay, hold on. What's going to be worse? House of Hoovers or the Jinder Mahal match?
Jinder match, because it's not going to have a refrigerator.
The dead refrigerator saved it.
Like, honestly, though, if you think about it, why are they doing this to poor Randy? That's kind of unfair, given all the talent that's on SmackDown. We all agree, SmackDown has a really strong upper card, even though it's missing Cena right now. That's a strong upper card. Shouldn't they be helping make Randy's run a little more memorable?
They probably should, and then put somebody in, let's say, like Luke Harper into... This is where Luke Harper should have been. When that number one contenders match happened, that's where Luke Harper
should have won. But Luke's
Harper
a face now. We can't have a face versus a face. Come on,
and
Carrie.
He's losing to Eric Rowan. While we're talking about that, since I mentioned it, let's talk about it. What did you guys think of that match? Kent?
You know, the more I think about it, this has been a really soul-crushing week for me. Between Braun and Emma, between Luke actually jobbing to Eric freaking Rowan.
He didn't job cleanly like you think. He didn't job cleanly. It was unfair.
Oh, God, he got a slight jab to the eye and suddenly he can't kick out. Listen here, brother. This is not the fucking 80s anymore, okay? Mojo Rawley cares about kids and Andre the Giant statues, okay? What the fuck happened this week? Like, really, what?
So I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't understand what's going on this week, but it's been really sad. I didn't like a Baron Corbin match. Golden Truth had an opportunity and it was just taken. This week, it felt like payback all over again. This has just been a bad week. I feel this is a nightmare. I blame myself because over at 9deuce.com, we're going to be doing a Nightmare in Elm Street blog, and maybe I've imposed ill will on WWE. That's my fear at this point, because everything's really going badly. And Rowan, for the love of God, I can't be the only person that's begging for Rowan to get new music.
It is awful, and it does not match him.
He needs some, like, dark music, right? Like, some dark metal or something
similar
dark.
To Luke's. Something similar. Not exactly the same, but similar. Darker roots and a little bit heavier. It sounds stupid. It does sound stupid.
It's so bad. Like, they could go so many different... They could go, like, a little country rock, southern rock thing. They could do a lot of things. Just not that. I mean, basically... At the end of the day, I think we're getting Mojo and Eric Rowan as a tag team come next year. That's my guess.
Yeah. The match.
Were their theme? I was gonna say, will their theme music have banjos?
It'll probably just have Rob Gronkowski singing, and WWE will give him the titles because of Rob. Yes.
Overall, though, the match wasn't bad.
Can I just point out Jinder Mahal? Jobbed to Mojo Rawley at WrestleMania. Mojo stuck in a segment where he's backstage talking to kids and Jinder Mahal is getting a world title match. This is really happening in this day and age. This shit's really happening.
Yep. How long do you think until Jinder goes back into obscurity?
I give it a week and a half.
So immediately after the pay-per-view, or you mean a week and a half after the pay-per-view?
Immediately after the pay-per-view.
Okay.
I disagree. Jinder is going to be in the ladder, Money in the Bank ladder match, so they're going to try to keep him relevant until then. After the Money in the Bank, though, yeah.
I think he's going to drop down to mid-card. If they play their card, if Jinder plays his cards right, he can go back down to mid-card and still be relevant.
Is it really him, though?
Oh, no, it's not. And he'll get screwed hardcore out of this. I know he will. You're right. But if they were like, hey, not bad, that was pretty impressive, let's see what you can do in the mid-card, maybe? Because I'll be honest with you, looking at it all over the place, Jinder has been playing his cards right. He's been playing his cards right. With the hand he's dealt, he's been playing his cards right. Is that his fault? No. So, I think they should let him... He's definitely not upper card material. No chance in hell. But mid-card? Absolutely. 100%.
So, guys, I say we move on and talk about something a little happier.
Carrie, this whole segment has been super happy. What the hell are you talking about? We've been cheery.
I say this podcast should be called the Super Happy Edition because, other than Stacey Keibler, things have been happy.
Well, let's get happier then, and let's talk about the Fashion Files. We had another Fashion File segment this week, guys. This time, Breezango was tracking the Ascension. And we also got an Ascension versus Breezango match.
Okay, first of all, it's Detective Dongo and the Gorgeous Gumshoe. Let's call them what they are.
Okay.
Breezango is now officially gone.
By the way, I watched last week's, and I'm hooked. I am completely hooked. I can't get enough of it. I want more Fashion Files. And I also love that it was the special London unit?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that what it was? So
the
basically,
Foggy Apple?
The Foggy Apple.
The Foggy Apple.
So, in short, excellent recommendation, guys. The match was also decent. With that being said, I'm enjoying the build-up for this between them and the Uggos. I mean Usos. Kent, what do you think? Let's talk happy.
Well, what made me happy was trying to figure out what the Ascension were doing in that tiny room together while grunting and screaming, and there was paint all over the place. Like, I'm a little confused, and I'm a little worried that maybe Mojo brought the kids along that hallway at some point, and that really concerns me. So, but it concerned me, but it also really made me happy. That was actually the happiest I was during SmackDown, was hearing Victor and Connor grunting and having the door open. I was just like, wow, that's fantastic. And the second highlight, actually, of the night was the Usos' great promo.
That promo was
spot on.
Holy crap.
And that makes me say, okay, where the hell has this been? So I liked it. Like, the tag team stuff was the best stuff of the week for me. So that's my happy positivity.
I think that's the only positive thing, really, honestly. There's a couple other things, I guess, but that was
Alexa's ass.
The Fashion Files again struck great. It's their mix of slapstick and puns. That just, it's been so good. Like, it was really minor, but if you noticed, so the first time when they hear the grunts, Detective Dongo tries putting in the code. Clearly doesn't work. And my favorite part is the gorgeous gumshoe, where he goes, "We don't have time for this." He kicks the door. It does nothing. And then he just is like, "Let's try this." And he just opens the door like it was nothing. It's like, what the hell? Oh, that was good. And the first pun was great. The fashion faux pas. And it was a picture of the British Bulldog. Classic. Just so many good things. If they can do this once a week, I don't think, heck, I'll do it every other week. Whoever their opponent is, my God, put the belt on these guys and let them run this, because this would be great.
Well, that's something I want to ask. Is it wise, when you have a really great act that can carry his own weight, we'll say The Miz, do you want the belt on them, or do you keep the belt off them because they're so good they can carry their own program without the need for a belt, whereas other wrestlers need a belt for their program to get over more? I mean, I understand that at some point Breezango needs the belt, a small run even, but would you put him on for long term?
Well, I was going to say, if you don't, you run into the problem of the Enzo and Cass. Such a strong act that's turned into garbage.
How are you doing?
Exactly. Not that good. Not anymore. So we've got to be careful. The only reason I thought Breezango would be the mat, or if they got the titles, then they would be in a prominent spot to do the Fashion Files every week. Where, yes, I guess for a couple of months they could probably get away with that. Eventually it's going to get old if they don't have the belts. But the Usos,
it's going to get old either way, isn't
it? Yeah, it will eventually. You're right.
I mean, in the same way New Day got old, yeah, right?
Yeah. It. The problem is, I don't want you to take the belts off the Usos. Not after that promo. Holy cow. That was great. It didn't make much sense, but holy, it was really well done.
It reminded me of how they are on Talking Smack. They've only been on a few times, but every time they're on Talking Smack, I take notice. Like, I really like their off-the-cuff stuff.
Yeah, they're very charismatic.
And they are, which makes me wonder, why did they suck so much as faces?
Yeah, seriously.
That makes no sense. They should have been great faces. Instead, they're better as heels when they get a shot, you know?
Were they booked wrong? Were they supposed to be the awesome, cool guys that everyone loves?
They got stuck being Roman's cousins.
Yeah.
That's what happened,
because
I think.
Because they have reinvigorated themselves, and I am fully behind it. So, I don't want to see them lose the belt yet. They need to make the belt. I think they can do it. Turn on your mic.
That would help, wouldn't it? I keep doing that.
Yeah, welcome anyway to my hell.
As I was trying to say before my technology got in the way, from my perspective, I say let's keep the belt on the Usos, but we need more Fashion Files in our lives. At least for a while. Maybe not have put the belts on him right now, but yeah, at some point, maybe we can put the belt and have the belts with the fashion files and make us all happy. Because it's happy. And with that, I think that our listeners are now fully up to speed on our thoughts for the week, guys. What do you think?
Well, the rest of wrestling sucked, so yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think it's time for the namesake segment of our show. I think it's time for the segment Were We Not Entertained? Basically, this segment.
It's this week. I was not. Sorry, go ahead.
Are you talking overall? I think all of us have a gripe for everything overall this week. But for our listeners, this segment takes one of the big segments of the week and asks the question whether or not we were entertained by it. This week we selected... What did we select, guys?
Well, Carrie, we happened to select the main event from SmackDown, that six-man tag match.
Ah, that's right. It would help if I write these things down, huh?
Yes, it would.
Well, I am actually going to bow out of this one because I fell asleep early and missed said six-man tag, so I'd like to get your thoughts on this, gentlemen. Kent, let's start with you. Were you or were you not entertained?
Well, based on the gleam in Russell's eye, he was clearly entertained, where I, on the other hand, was clearly not entertained. It was a terrible use of Baron Corbin and Kevin Owens' great look. More importantly, I really don't want AJ Styles in tag matches anymore. The dude is so goddamn good, I just want to see him shine on his own. I'm okay with not seeing, like, cut down on these multi-man tag matches. I know it's like a staple of wrestling. We could pull away from it a little bit. We can pull out. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with pulling out every once in a while, okay? Sure. I mean, stop planting the seed a la Teddy Long and just pull out and just give us some one-on-one loving. Is that asking too much?
I don't think so. But the problem is, again, I think it raises the question because, by the way, I was only mildly entertained. I'll give it this. Jinder got a pin on Randy Orton. That, at least he can tell his kids that when he's older. Pinned Randy Orton when he was the world champion. That's about as good as that's going to get. But you're right. But it goes back to this. Raw was full of main event / pay-per-view matches, and none of them reached above a 4.5 for me, which I would not watch. I would not watch any of those matches again. So
I just had a thought occur to me, and I want to ask you guys if you recall this. The last time that we had Raw and SmackDown in London, we hypothesized, because SmackDown was awful that week, back when SmackDown was doing great, and we hypothesized that they only brought one writing team. Is it possible, nay probable, that they only brought one writing team and it was the Raw writing team this week?
I think it's always the Raw writing team, because SmackDown reeked, except for a few things, of Raw. So, and if Carrie was trying to talk.
So basically, the analogy is, sucky show, Raw writers. Good show, SmackDown writers.
But
I'm glad that we can continue with that analogy.
That's almost the norm. But don't forget, even though almost the whole show was garbage, but don't forget, Braun had his epic beatdown, and that was on Raw. So was that a SmackDown writer ready for Braun?
We also got to see Rusev in a video.
Yes.
Which was probably recorded in America. Probably done by the SmackDown writing team. And that was one of the other good things.
Oh, yeah. I like where they're going with that.
Rusev Machka.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. That hair looks really good.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I agree. And also, since you guys mentioned Braun, should we jump into our next segment? The I'm not finished with you yet segment?
Might as well.
I know me All right, then. I know me personally. I'm looking forward to more Finn Balor next week, guys. How about you guys? Kent?
I am shocked that you are looking forward to more Finn. I, on the other hand, I'm not really sure. I guess I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with Eric Rowan. They gave him a win. Are they going to push him in a mid-card feud? That's what I'm looking forward to. Eric Rowan, who won't be on next week's SmackDown and make this all pointless.
And Russ?
Oh, man. Whew, there was a lot not to choose from. I'm looking forward to... Seth and Joe.
The Fashion Police, right?
Well, yeah, the Fashion Police.
I thought you were
going to
go Fashion Police.
Well, the Fashion Police is so obvious. I didn't want to go the same that route. I'm going to go with Seth and Joe. I kind of want to see where they're going with this. You know what? I'll take it back. I'm very surprised that they are making Miz versus Dean and Raw. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. Very shocking that they went that route instead of waiting for a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but it's lived up pretty good, though, right?
What?
That's been a good, they've done good with it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm shocked. I was a little bit shocked. That's why I'm like, okay, where are they going with this? So let's see what they do with it. I'm kind of, I am looking forward to that.
It really is a case of it's what is old is new again there with that. Like, we all know it's old because we saw it on SmackDown, but it's almost like it's new again.
Does it's that good. Apply to Old Day?
No. No. And with that, I think it's time we played our favorite game, guys. Let's play Guess the Wrestler. So this week, everyone, Russ has chosen a wrestler, and it's up to Kent and I to guess who that wrestler is. And we're going to do that using 9 questions and 2 guesses. So Russ, you ready to go with your wrestler?
I have my wrestler... I'm just making sure I don't lie to you guys, that's all. Alright. Hold on 1 second.
Wow, the professionalism on the show.
Is so good, isn't it?
Because Russ didn't have a full hour and a half to prepare for this. Nope.
No, I'm looking for one thing. I'm just looking for one thing. I want
to
make sure
I think I sent you the link to that one thing, and it was glorious.
No, I got to look at that later because it wouldn't pop up for me. It was really weird. I just want to make sure I'm not going to lie.
It will pop up for you, sir. Let me tell you.
I can't wait to look that. All right, go ahead. Ask your question. All right, the two I have to answer. Male. And what was the other one I always had to answer? Forgot.
Current or
past?
Non-current.
Okay, past, non-current.
Title or titles held?
That is a fantastic question. Right. He's held a lot of championships. Or you want to be more specific to anyone? He's held quite a few championships. But this was... He has a good career pre-WWE. So I'll give you that too. WWE is his main.
Is he a former world champion in any of the 3 major federations?
In the 3 major federations? No.
Was he ever in a tag team?
Yes.
Is he currently in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. I'm going to say no. I do not think he is.
What era is he from?
Mid-80s to late-80s for us. Earlier careers, he was doing other promotions.
Was he known more as a tag team or a singles?
In WWE, tag team. But outside of that, he did have quite a bit of tag team. So I'd say more tag team. But he did have some single stuff.
Was he a part of any factions?
No, no. Well, this might give it away too.
That's the hope and the dream, because depending on what you say, I have a follow up question.
All right. The Bulldogs. There. I'll give you that because this is tough. It's not even a faction, but at least that's the... I can help you out with that a little bit. Go ahead.
The Bulldogs. Okay. Was he predominantly a face or a heel?
I want to say face. Like, here's the thing. You're going to know the name of this guy when I say it, but you might not know who he is because he's not super up there famous.
And that leaves me out. But anyway, how many more questions have we got, guys?
I think you only got two more.
We got three.
Oh, my bad.
Catchphrases.
No. And if he did, I don't know them. I'm sorry.
The Bulldog thing really throws me for a loop here. But my question is he the father of a wrestler that we may know? Man, this is so not going anywhere where I was hoping it was going.
Nope, God, I'm going to say it. No, he isn't. I'll give you one more hint. The Bulldogs probably gave it a little bit, but tied a lot to the Hart family. Just because I know this is a prop, this was going to be a tough one. So there's a lot of connection to the Hart family, but I don't think he's fathered anybody who we know as a wrestler.
I'm just saying that D.H. Smith was Davy Boy's son.
Yeah, it's D.H. Smith not Davy Boy, but it's someone who...
I mean, I wasn't going to try to get that information. I was just saying that
as
a fact.
I know, it's not Davy Boy Smith. But he is related to him. That's it. I'm done. I think there's no other questions. I've given you enough.
I am drawing a complete blank, so Kent, go ahead and guess.
Can I ask you one obscure question?
Sure, you may.
Was his ring style so awesome that another guy may have copied his?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. Is it Dynamite?
You got it. Good job. I knew if I knew if I gave it too much, but I also know he was obscure as hell. And as soon as you, I knew you knew as soon as you asked that question, if someone copied him. Yes, absolutely, 100%.
I had to, because I started off with thinking Jerry Lawler, then I went Greg the Hammer Valentine, and then you said Bulldogs. I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't think of any factions that really involved the Bulldogs, unless you really were going for British Bulldogs.
Right, no, yeah, British Bulldogs. Yeah, Dynamite Kid. I was like, he's famous enough to use, but also obscure enough to, you know, throw you even.
To have
you
killed Chris Benoit.
Yes, yes.
And since it was the London week, of course, why not have a Brit?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Now, the other thing, too, is the what it was taking me so long was I couldn't tell if he was still alive or not.
I think he is. I think he's actually like a miserable fuck, yep. to be perfectly honest. Is his what's his real first name? Is it Tom?
It is Thomas Tom Billington, yes. It was just, yeah, I was like, that's why I was waiting. I was like, wait a minute, is he dead? Because if they asked me that, I have no clue. Because he has a lot of health problems. That's his big problem.
I thought he was dead, and I was surprised to find out he was alive like last year. So I was like, I don't think I've heard of him dying since
then. Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I was looking for. That's why it took me so long. It's like, ooh, I didn't check to see if he was alive or dead.
Wait, the British Bulldogs aren't in the Hall of Fame?
Not the Bulldogs. It does not say anything about him being in the Hall of Fame on his Wikipedia page.
I don't know if Davey Boy actually made it in either, to be perfectly honest.
I think I had him a previous week as my guest wrestler, and I don't remember seeing it there either. I don't think they are in.
They might not be.
Well, maybe one year we'll get Jim the Anvil, Bulldog, Owen, and Pillman, and just have a really good Canadian class. Maybe they just have WrestleMania in Canada at some
point. There you go. I was going to say, maybe when they have WrestleMania Canada.
I think Vancouver's been trying to get it for a while. There you go. There's our Canadian WrestleMania. Let's have it in Vancouver. Anyway, let's close it out, guys. But first, let me say great job, guys, with Guest the Wrestler. And there you have it, everyone. Another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained has come to an end.
Wow, Carrie, that's really rude. Because of what you sounded like. Not Kent. But another word that starts with a C. That's what it sounds
Kentertained.
Like.
I said Kentertained.
Yeah, sure you did.
I wasn't really sure. Because
I didn't want to even say the word. I was like, Carrie said it. Let her have that one.
Let me try that again. Another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained has come to an end. Be sure to check out our blog at ninedeuce.com/wrestling and on social media at the following locations. Facebook.
Facebook.com/ninedeuceblogs.
And Twitter. I think that's the @officialninedeuce.
Yep.
Any other announcements, Ken?
Instagram, same thing.
Ah.
There's something with Tumblr, too.
As you can tell, we use it a lot, so.
Yeah, I actually had some porn bot friend me on Tumblr today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, any other announcements, Kent, for our listeners?
Let's see. No. Unless anybody wants to get in on the Nightmare on Elm Street blog, in which case, if you look up, it's facebook.com/groups/9deuce horror. I think that's there, 9deuce horror films. I don't really fucking know. But one of those two, you can join in on the fun.
All right. And if
Carrie, I can't hear you.
Here we go.
Wow. Professional
anyway
here.
Yay. And with that, for Russ, Kent, and myself, we say have a great night, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys. Or bye, everyone. Sorry. Bye, everyone.
God, Ross, get it right.
I'm sorry.
Night, y'all.